Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past week felt full. Like many weeks do, full of conversations, emails, planning, and preparation. And maybe that's fitting because today is one of those Sundays that also feels full. Full of worship, full of music and special guests, full of community, full of responsibility, and yes, full of an annual meeting that will take place on Zoom after our meeting here, as well as in person. But in the midst of all that fullness, I've noticed something else too. More light. And of course, I wrote this before the incident yesterday. And in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of the shooting and all the turmoil that's going on in the country, the turmoil in Minneapolis, there is light. And two things can be true at the same time. In the midst of all the fullness that I've been noticing, there's something else that's happening. There is light in the world. And it's not just the slow return of daylight outside, though that is happening, but the kind of light that shows up when people lean into relationship, when they listen deeply, when they realize they are not alone in trying to discern what faithfulness looks like next. Earlier this week, John Mills and I met with a gentleman named Sean, a member of St. Mary's United Church in Canada. Yes, it was via Zoom. We didn't travel that far. John and I have been talking with references connected to Releven, the church consulting group that walks with congregations discerning redevelopment of their property. Church is very much like ours. Sean's congregation is further down the road. They've done the discernment. They have navigated all the uncertainty. They now are in the building phase. What made the conversation meaningful wasn't just the practical wisdom, though there was plenty of that, but the sense of shared experience. The reminder that we are not the first church to ask hard questions about space, mission, finances, and the future. We are certainly not the only ones trying to listen carefully for where God might be leading. At one point, Sean shared how their congregation began thinking differently about their redevelopment. Not just about what to build, but about relationships. Not just about space, but about purpose. They began exploring the idea of a social enterprise. A way their building could serve the wider community sustainably while supporting the church's ministry and mission. It wasn't framed as a solution. It was a shared story. A story of people paying attention, listening to neighbors, trusting that God was already at work beyond the walls of the church. And as we talked, I kept thinking, this is what it looks like to fish. Not with certainty, not with force, but with patience, trust, and relationship. Which brings us to today's gospel. Jesus begins his ministry not with an institution, not with a plan, but with a proclamation. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then does something very ordinary. He goes for a walk along the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon Peter and Andrew casting their nets, doing what they ordinarily always do. And he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." A little farther on, he sees James and John mending their nets and tending to what already exists. And he calls them too. Immediately they follow. Now, some scholars suggest Jesus may have already known these fishermen, that relationships may have already been forming. And that makes sense because people rarely leave everything behind for a stranger. But what stands out to me isn't how much they knew Jesus. It's how Jesus named the call. He doesn't say, come and manage the kingdom. He doesn't say, come and protect the tradition. He doesn't say, come and grow an organization. He says, follow me. And then he promises something extraordinary and relational. I will make you fishers of people. Fishing for people is not about numbers. It's not about pressure. It's not about winning arguments. It's about relationships. Grounded in God's covenant love, now made visible in Jesus himself. John the Baptist announced that the kingdom was near. And then Jesus embodies that nearness. Light has dawned. And that changes everything. As we gather on this annual meeting Sunday, I'm mindful that following Jesus often begins not with certainty, but with curiosity. Last week we heard Jesus' respond to the disciples' question. Where are they staying? They said. And with a simple invitation, Jesus responded, come and see. That same spirit guides us today. Faithful discernment doesn't require us to have all the answers before we begin. It asks us to notice where God might already be at work, to share honestly with one another, and to invite the Spirit into our listening. Even small shifts, 1 or 2%, in how we pay attention and trust can open space for God to do something extraordinary and beautiful among us. So today, I want to invite us into two reflections that matter not just for our faith, but for the conversation we will continue to have in our annual meeting and beyond. First, imagine Jesus is calling you right where you are to follow and become a fisher of people. If you're comfortable, close your eyes. Picture someone you're in relationship with. A relationship marked by joy or concern or hope or frustration. Hold that person in your mind. If you're willing, softly speak that name out loud. If you're worshiping online, you can place their name in the chat. Now take a moment and pray for that person. Trust that God is already at work. And trust that God may be using you quietly, faithfully, as part of that work. Jesus isn't suddenly calling you today. God has been calling you through word, water, bread, and wine, and community for a long time. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, second, as we follow Jesus, we may be asked gently to put something down. Peter and Andrew leave their nets. James and John leave their boat and their father. Not because those things were bad, but because they could not hold them in the same way and still follow. We understand this. We've done it before. Following Jesus rarely means letting go of anything. Following Jesus rarely means letting go of everything, but it often means letting go of something. Fear, anxiety, the need for certainty, the comfort of the way we've always done it. Not all at once, but maybe 1 or 2%. And this is where our gospel meets us today at Our Savior Lutheran Church and Purdue Lutheran Ministries, especially on annual meeting Sunday. Our meeting today isn't just about reports or budgets or motions. It's about discernment. It's about listening. It's about how we continue to follow Jesus together, trusting that God is already at work among us and ahead of us. And we don't have all the answers, and that's okay. Jesus didn't give the disciples a roadmap. He gave them himself. So we don't need to be intimidated by this call to follow. Yes, change can make us anxious. That's being human. But today's gospel reminds us that Jesus calls ordinary people in ordinary moments into the extraordinary with a faithful trust. Light has dawned. The kingdom has come near. And we are invited in worship and in conversation and in community to follow together. Amen.